The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Katie Mox, here with Will Brinson and Chris Trapasso, and today we are going through the NFL draft groups through song. A little bit of like maybe an American Idol vibe. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's going to sing here. I hope so. We're going to break those down. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure that you smash that like button, you follow, you leave a comment, do everything that you need to do. Same for the audio. And stay tuned with us all week long for more NFL offseason news. All right, fellas, I am coming to you from California today, and that's why we are running a little bit late. Sorry about that. But
you're saying that it's not my fault that we're running late.
It's not Brinson's fault that we're late today. I have a brand new setup here in California.
Thank you. I'll see you later. No, I'm just kidding. Usually, yes, everyone knows
it's Brinson was on time. But, you know, when it's like a new studio, trying to like get everything
set up. That's just a lot about you as a person, Kelly Mox, by the way, that you didn't take the opportunity to just be like, Brinson was late and just let everyone believe it and run with it, because you could have easily done that and just been like, yeah, it's his fault. The guy in the green, I'm looking like, this is like an old, I'm wearing an old school, like actually knit Vineyard Vine shirt, which is something I haven't worn in a while. Like you wouldn't want to play golf in this, cause it'd be heavy. It's one of those old school ones. And I also appropriately am wearing an Althea hat, which is a song.
Well, first of all, speaking about what you don't want to play golf in, was this the worst Masters of all time with stops and the tree coming down and almost killing people?
That actually never happened. I wouldn't talk about it on any platform in which you're paid money by CBS. I'll tell you that much.
Everybody was fine. Everybody was fine.
I'm just saying Kyle Porter was there and took a bunch of pictures of it and tweeted him out, and then they disappeared. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. It didn't happen. Forget
you. You can't go back and watch the feed on masters.com and watch the tree fall. It's no longer there. Sandy Lyle broke a club over his knee. Sandy Lyle, like 70-year-old Sandy Lyle, hit his first shot on number one on Thursday. It was behind a tree. And he had to go left-handed with a club and hit it left-handed. He actually made contact, good contact, according to someone who was watching the shot, but hit a cameraman and the shot dropped down and he got so pissed off. This is his final Masters, that he snapped a club over his knee. Now, if you go on masters.com and try to watch that shot, it has disappeared. It is back-to-back shots of his third shot.
Well, the Masters is like the CIA, just making everything.
That's how it works.
Traps, how are we doing today? How'd you think of the Masters?
Yeah, it was boring. I mean, I like Jon Rahm a lot, but just like Will was saying before we went on the air, to like see that suspense, like down the last five or six holes, it's like, I feel like it's supposed to happen every year. And we just didn't get it this year in the Masters. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I want, it sucks. Cause you don't want to root for somebody to melt down. But when Rahm missed his birdie putt and Brooks made his on 16. And Rahm was closer. Brooks had a longer putt, but buried his. It's like, all right, if we get birdie bogey on 17, then it's a one stroke lead going into 18. And you saw in 18, even with like a four stroke lead, Rahm still hosel rocketed his ball to the left into, you know, and then got lucky when it got kicked out and hit it. But as our colleague Trevor Illman said, I've never seen a Masters champion hit a provisional ball on 18. Like, that just doesn't happen. And Rahm was so worried that he didn't know where his ball was that he hit a provisional. Now, he probably still would have won anyway because you're one in, drop two, hit three. You're lying three where the provisional goes. And you hit, you know, an approach shot and two putts. You can make a six, even if Brooks would have to eagle to shrink the gap, I guess. Or maybe he could have birdied. And the point being is, like, what Trapp said is, like, the lack of drama down the stretch – for me is like, that's what makes the Masters great. Is like, right. I want to see we saw even 12 and 13, Rahm had I would say this on 12, he had a very safe shot. And then on 13, he pressed the gas down a little because he knew he had the wind with him. And he played that, you know, he usually plays a fade from left to right. He played a hard draw around that corner, knowing that he could put himself in a position where he was going to be able to make birdie at worst, you know, unless he just completely shanked one. And then on 15 too, he laid up to a distance he liked, knowing he was gonna get on the green, just make par and get out of there. The whole thing about the Masters and the final closing holes, beginning with Amen Corner, is that, you know, I mean, like the whole concept of Augusta is that the back nine coming down the stretch on a Sunday is supposed to create insane drama. And just because of the way that the scoring worked and where everybody was, like, you know, anybody who really made a push was like, you know, Mickelson or Spieth, who'd gotten there, but they were in the clubhouse, and Rahm was just he knew how to play the course well enough that it didn't, like, it never, the back nine never really came into play. And that's sort of the only disappointing thing. 40 years after Seve won the Masters on Seve's birthday, Seve Ballesteros, the greatest Spaniard golfer of all time, with Jose Maria Elizabal there, who's his mentor. And you can see that, like, I started crying when they started hugging and talking in Spanish. I don't even know what the hell.
Yeah, that was cool.
I can speak Spanish, right? Like, I still didn't know what the hell they were saying.
What about your name? Rincion.
I should have left it on there, right? As soon as I take it off, Rahm wins. But, I mean, I felt like a very cool moment. Love John Rahm. I think he's a very much a worthy Master champion. But it just lacked. And we had the chance for drama, too, with, you know, three live guys in the top
right.
five.
Right. Mm. Didn't Greg Norman say if they won too, all the live guys were going to be out there like partying on the last tee?
Storming the green, which would have been a bizarre scene. Yeah.
Really bizarre scene. Thank all right, everybody. Have you ever dreamed about buying a nice Pick Six podcast shirt and then jumping over and getting a Yellowstone whiskey glass or a Top Gun Maverick hat? Well, now you can at the brand new Paramount Shop, which offers a mountain of merch from the Paramount shows and movies that you love. Shop official apparel, drinkware, and accessories inspired by over 150 fan favorite titles like Paw Patrol, Yellowstone, Top Gun, Star Trek, South Park, SpongeBob, SquarePants, and your favorite CBS sports podcasts like Pick Six, Fantasy Football Today, and Cover Three. Paramount Shop, where products are paramount. You know what else is paramount? Our guy Traps wrote an incredible article on CBSSports.com. The 2023 NFL draft ranking position groups from best to worst with edge rushers and cornerbacks at the top. So we thought it'd be fun to play on Traps' wonderful article here and assign songs to these position groups. So we'll start, I guess, from back to front here with safeties, Traps. What is a song that you would give the safeties group?
I'm going to go with one that everyone on the internet should know very well. It's The Sound of Silence by Paul Simon. It's kind of like a TikTok meme, like, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Ooh, because
this safety group is bad. It's not good. it's got Brian Branch and then not much else. I think if you look at Lance Zierlein of NFL.com, he did the same article. He had safeties as the worst group. Daniel Jeremiah just tweeted out, I think last week or a few days ago, safety group paper thin. So that was kind of the sadness that I felt watching these safeties. It's an important position, and this is just not the year to pick a safety beyond Brian Branch from Alabama.
It sounds pretty bleak.
Yeah, it's bad. And I think we lost Brinson, which is very unusual. It's usually me that is.
Well, you know, he wasn't late, so he had to do something to disrupt the show. All right. Well, when we get him back, we can move on down the line there. But let's move on to the next group. We've got linebackers. Did I lose you too?
Oh, I lost you for a second, but I think I think linebackers were good.
Yeah, well, I feel like we might this show might be looped in with the safety song. Maybe we'll go ahead and put that here. Yeah. What about linebackers?
So I went with "I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow." It's by the Soggy Bottom Boys, which are not a real group. It's from the movie "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou," which is
with George Clooney.
Early 2000s. Good job. Early 2000s, George Clooney. You know the movie as well. It is a movie that's kind of based on Homer's Odyssey, but it's set in the late 1800s or early 1900s South. And I went with this song, "I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow," because not that I am a man of constant sorrow, but I love watching linebackers. I love scouting linebackers. I think it's a position that is really underrated in today's NFL. We've seen one linebacker come off the field. There's so many nickel defenses, usually just two linebackers today. But watching this linebacker group kind of made me a man of constant sorrow because there's not a lot of good ones. I love Jack Campbell from Iowa. I'm not a big fan of Trenton Simpson from Clemson. Beyond that, you're kind of grasping at straws to find a top-tier linebacker in this class. So that's just the constant sorrow I had watching, trying to find elite level linebackers. I just couldn't do it in this class.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like we need to hear little clips of these songs, Billy, to really put it into context.
Well, we will all get in trouble for that. You'd much rather did you see how quickly I disappeared after I said something about the Masters?
True. Well, like, okay,
you'd rather be on here talking about how the Masters logo is trash, which obviously I don't feel because I am a huge Masters fan. See the Masters thing.
I like the logo.
Everyone loves the logo. I'm saying like we will get canceled faster. Well, we won't. Billy will get fired.
Okay. Like,
force him to play songs.
No.
Like, I don't know what the fair usage thing is, but I don't think it applies to us. I don't think we get 6 seconds of these songs.
Oh, is that
I'm not sure how it works. 6 seconds?
I'm just pretty sure you can't play songs on like Brady was playing, like we work for CBS and Brady was playing them like One Shining Moment. And I'm fairly certain that was a major copyright violation on his part.
Okay. Well, let's not bring more attention to it. All right, Brendan,
if you want to get Billy fired, all you do is just blast the Beatles on here and Billy will be fired within 15 minutes.
Okay. Well,
or Metallica. Like those two guys are so the Beatles, not themselves, but
Metallica are the ones that started the whole Napster, right? They're the ones that.
Yeah. Metallica is extremely litigious.
Okay. All right. Well, let's not get litigious with anyone or have anyone get litigious with us. So safeties, Trap said, "The Sound of Silence" by Paul Simon. Linebackers, "I Am a Man in Constant Sorrow" by the Soggy Bottom Boys.
I'll just loop in playing with the boys for both the safeties and the linebackers. Not because I really think there's any absolute connection there. I just sort of wanted to hear "Playing with the Boys" by Kenny Loggins.
Go. That's not a copyright violation.
That's the only violation. So.
That sounds like a happy song. That sounds like you feel pretty good about these groups.
But in the music video, which you missed, this is actually the biggest reason you'd be upset about being running behind is that you missed me breaking down the entire music video of Kenny Loggins playing with the boys, not the Top Gun version. In the movie where they're playing volleyball and
But trust me, that's what's going on in my head right now.
But there's actually a volleyball scene between boys and girls at a gym. It's Kenny Loggins is playing the electric guitar, but he's unplugged. And then the boys are beating the crap out of the girls, and the girls are doing somersaults in their knee pads and flailing everywhere. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, everything changes. And they just start spiking it. The dudes can't stop screwing up. and the girls pull off the win. And then I don't know. It doesn't really, nothing about it like really makes sense.
It's the 80s music, though. Like, all of videos from the 80s are like, what's happening in these
videos? But it's also videos? These two groups of people who are, like, kind of good at what they do, but not really good at what they do. And they're not competing.
See, that's where we're tying it back in?
Yeah, mm-hmm. See. So, like, mm-hmm. It's like, and they're competing against each other, but not really, because they kind of do the same thing. So it's like the linebackers and the safeties. That's what they got there.
There you go. That's good.
That's how I got like a 5 on my AP English exam, is being able to completely come up with crap like that off the top of my head.
On the fly, too. Oh, yeah. Well, Dom in the comments says, that was not a copyright violation. Just made me wish I was deaf instead of blind. Dom always bringing the fire.
I cannot sing. Like, I'm okay, actually sending it.
Let's talk about the interior offensive line, Traps. We're starting to work our way back up.
Okay, so I went with Welcome to Paradise by Green Day, which is a classic from the Dookie album.
My first CD I ever bought was Dookie.
93, 94, somewhere in that range. Welcome to Paradise.
You love that album.
Yes, I did. I do love that album, too.
I was sure you say, yes, I love. What's Green Day. The album?
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
He's 5 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, Trav.
So, I obviously, just with the title, Welcome to Paradise, it's obviously an upbeat song. I didn't rank interior offensive line crazy high, but it felt like, being a draft analyst the last couple of years, the interior offensive line group has been pretty bad. And this year, I like a lot of these players. I like Osiris Torrance, John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin at center. There's a lot of good interior offensive linemen. So it kind of felt like paradise, me watching this, because I think it's still a very important position. There's so many good interior pass rushers. You got to have good interior offensive linemen, especially at the top. I think in this group, the song Welcome to Paradise, and I had to kind of look it up. Apparently it is kind of like realizing that everything is pretty good. That's why I went with that song. And it's just a great song, and I wanted to listen to it on YouTube while I was researching.
Welcome to Paradise. Yep.
Pretty good. Thank better you. Than my playing with
thank
the boys.
You. Thank you. Dookie was the first CD I ever bought. It was either that or the Chronic. I can't remember. One of the two. Very wildly different. But did you ever buy a tape? Say it again.
Did you ever buy a tape? A cassette tape?
Oh, yes. Yes, but I remember buying my first CD was a bigger, you know, you just grew up with cassette tapes. I grew up with records. We had a record player, actually.
Did you ever buy a tape? Like, did you ever buy, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Probably, but I don't have like a memory of going and buying a tape, but for sure I had tapes.
I remember Pearl Jam 10 was my first tape, I believe.
Tape. My first was a single. It was Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It, a tape.
Oh, what a song.
What a song.
Yeah. What a song. Stuck in her head.
So Pearl Jam 10 was 91.
Okay.
I was in first grade.
This Is How We Do It is years after that.
Oh, actually, you know what? I have one before. I'm sorry, I lied. I have one before 10. It was MC Hammer. Please, Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Mm.
Oh,
1990.
MC Hammer. Oh my God, the pants. I'm saying this. All right, we are getting off topic here. What's your interior offensive line, Brinson?
Well, I actually lumped the offensive linemen together. And maybe we can go to maybe Travis can go offensive tackle here if you want. But also, I don't know if we can really be getting off topic by mentioning like various CDs and albums when we are literally talking about songs that define the offensive line class. If anything, you know, you could come up with a song by venturing off topic. Like, for instance, Hammer's Prey could be a song that you'd use for the quarterbacks. I did not have Hammer pants.
I'm sure you did. Everybody did. I had some Hammer pants. My mom was really good at sewing, and she would sew us Hammer pants. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in the South. We didn't have Hammer pants.
Okay.
We wore like chainmail, like level, like polos like this.
Croquis and Crocs.
Well, that was just before Croquis. But I went with Bob Dylan's Changing of the Guards. I can't remember if it's a plural or not. Describing the offensive lineman, because I think that there are several of the top offensive linemen, even the tackles in this class, are sort of, correct me if I'm wrong, Traps, are projected to slide inside, like Peter Skoronski
out
of Northwestern, who's probably the best offensive lineman in this class, is projected to maybe slide inside, depending on what you think of him, but he's not like a Quentin Nelson type. So it's really weird, because you've got like the number one offensive lineman in the class, offensive tackle in the class, probably kicks inside. Now, you could say the same thing last year about Ikem Ekwonu. A lot of teams, if they drafted Ikem, thought that he might have to slide inside. And so, to me, I just think it's very interesting that you have this interior offensive line class that you like, that you think is a good guard class. And then you also have this tackle class that a lot of guys may have to kick inside to guard anyway. So changing of the guards actually works pretty well. I think it's changing the guards.
Looking at my list, I realized I did not send in offensive tackle. So Will saved us there. And I think that is a really good one. I'm not familiar with that song, but from the title,
it's perfect. Brinson. Give us a little tune.
You know what? I'm not singing Bob Dylan. That only goes poorly.
Basement makes another medicine. Daddy's on a payment. Think about a government man. I'm trying to go back.
Let's get laid off. You know what song that is?
No. How could anybody know what song that is? Say it again.
Subterranean Homesick Blues. Definitely worth listening. It's probably where REM stole It's the End of the World from.
I'm surprised you haven't given it like a Grateful Dead or a Fish song yet.
They'll come.
Oh, those will come.
They'll get there.
If you build it, they will
come. I'm wearing a Grateful Dead hat.
Yeah.
I am. It's healthy.
Yep. All right. On that note, let's take a quick break. Cool. You're watching the Pick Six Podcast, and we'll be right back.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Chalk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. If you are not following us on social, make sure that you do that at Pick Six Pod across all social media platforms. Right now, we are going through the different groups in the draft and assigning songs based on how we think that they will do or just basically who they are. Now we're going to move on to running backs, Travis.
So I went with Bad Boy for Life by, I think at the time he was still Puff Daddy.
Go,
yeah.
Nowhere. Yep.
And that what you just sang is my exact reason for picking that, because we're always trying to say running backs don't matter, draft them later. But this is a really, really good running back class beyond just Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. There's Tajay Spears. There's Tank Bigsby from Auburn. Izzy Abanikanda from Pitt. The Oklahoma running back, Eric Gray. Kenny McIntosh from Georgia. It's a really good group. So watching it, this entire running back class in its entirety, I was like, man, this is probably one of the best classes that we've had in a long time. And amidst all of this talk that you don't really need running backs, there's no value, blah, blah, blah. The running backs are, I think, triumphantly saying that we ain't go nowhere. So that's why
we're bad boys for life.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great song. I love it.
Do you agree? Do you agree?
Yeah.
I mean,
we ain't.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, like, this is like the song that, I mean, this is also the song that, like, Brady and Gronk busted out when they won in Tampa Bay. It's like, bah, bah. I mean, this is, what year was that song?
2002, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, like, that song was white hot at tailgates when I was in college. When I was supposed to be in college. You know, like, the actual time frame of, like, when I would have been in college, like, you know, 2002, nuclear hot. Like, you turn that up loud, it's like, bow, bow, bow,
we can't bow, be smart.
I might throw that on a mix right now. We still make mixes, right? And by the way, shout out to Dom in the chat. He points out that Pearl Jam's, do you guys know, without looking, do you know what a Pearl Jam's original name was going to be?
Oh, yeah. I saw a video about this. It was something, they're called Pearl Jam for a really weird reason.
Well, but it's,
I'm totally blanking.
It's a sports reference that their first name.
Is it Muggsy Bogues?
Mookie Blaylock. Very close.
Mookie Blaylock.
NBA. Yeah. Very close. Very close. We'll give you credit for that. Half credit.
Like, okay. Give the story now.
But they're just, they love Mookie Blaylock. So that would, they were going to call their, they were going to be Mookie Blaylock.
And then they were going to get sued by, I guess, using that. Like,
No, I think it's.
Yeah. What was the reason? I just saw that video.
They just loved him.
Yeah, but can you use someone else's name as the name of your band? I don't know that you can do that.
Yeah, probably.
So that's maybe why it didn't happen.
Yeah. When we were recording our first record, we had a per diem of about $10. So when we got lunch at the store across the street, we'd always buy a pack of basketball cards. When we turned in our first tape, we didn't have a name for the band yet, so we put a Mookie Blaylock card in the case. We're about to go on a tour and still didn't have a name and needed one quickly. We were told it didn't need to be the name we were going to use forever, just something for the tour. Someone saw the Mookie Blaylock card and said, how about Mookie Blaylock? We decided to go with it and did a 10-show tour with Alice's Chains as Mookie Blaylock. Mookie was cool about it, too. He didn't sue us. I actually got to meet him later on and shoot around a little bit. We also made a Pearl Jam t-shirt with a picture of him on it. I guess we owe Mookie a lot.
Huh.
You go on.
Where does Pearl Jam come from, then?
It's something about jam. I mean, obviously.
But pearls?
Something
about, like,
what's that?
And pearls.
I'm trying to think what it.
All right. Well, let's talk about tight ends. This is my favorite.
Well, you didn't ask me my running back.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Running backs.
You're the Best by Joe Esposito from the Karate Kid soundtrack.
Ooh. Because he's
like, you're the best around. Nothing ever gonna be too bad. You're the best. Or keep you down now, I think is what I was going with. Yes, I'm aware I can't sing. Thank you very much. But I think that, like, the Bijan Robinson factor here is really interesting because he is, and I know this, and maybe that's not fair to the rest of this class, but, like, he's so far above everyone else in this class, right?
I wouldn't say way far in front, but, like, consensus top running back. There might be a few teams out there that like Jahmyr Gibbs a little more.
There's nobody who has anybody above Bijan Robinson.
I wouldn't be surprised because I'm just saying
I need an anonymous scout saying, yeah, that's right. Maybe Bob McGinn will do this for us.
Yeah.
When he does it, he usually does it on Tyler Long's GoLongTD.com, which everyone should subscribe to. But I think that, like,
yes.
Bijan Robinson is so friggin' good. We talked about it before. Like, literally gives me butterflies. Ooh. Like, makes my heart sing as a running back. Like, that's unusual for a prospect.
What song would you assign him then?
Oh.
It gives you butterflies.
Oh. How about Chris Stapleton's Joy of My Life?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like that's it. Like, and look, Bijan Robinson's not the greatest running back prospect of all time.
He's the joy of your life.
If I had a first round pick, I'm using it on Bijan Robinson. Now, I'm not going to use a top 10 pick on him. But if my team needs a running back and we get to the point of the draft, I'm like, it's like 15 or something, and Bijan Robinson's there. And
Patriots?
Yeah. In not even just sort of like, you know, not even space.
In general. Yeah.
Patriots.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like, or the Seahawks at 20. Like, the Seahawks just drafted.
Kenneth Walker.
Thank you, Kenneth Walker. I was going to say Kellen Robinson. Who the hell is that? Kellen Robinson the third, too. Like, like, they just drafted Kenneth Walker last year, but they lost Rashad Penny, and they want to run the ball a ton. It wouldn't be that crazy to draft. Like, he's that good a prospect, and if you get him in the 11 to 20 range, God forbid, the 21 to 31 range, you're getting him at a discount based on the fact that where we would have seen – running backs drafted. Billy and I were talking about biggest draft bust of all time recently. We're doing a little short for it. Ooh. And I pointed out that in...
Who was it?
Well, I have it. Jamarcus Russell was the easy one. But was it... I'm trying to think. What year was Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith?
'05.
Is it 05? Thank you.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 05 draft. I threw out Alex Smith as not because I think he's was a disaster as a player.
Because we didn't get Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not exactly. The Niners did not get Aaron Rodgers and lost out on Aaron Rodgers' entire career because of Alex Smith. Now, it worked out or whatever, because I guess not really. Point being, Alex Smith 1, Ronnie Brown 2, Braylon Edwards 3, Cedric Benson 4, Cadillac Williams 5. Like, we're only
Matt Leinart. That guy was a bust.
Yeah. Seems like a nice guy there. But point being is like, we're not even 20 years removed from three running backs going in the top five of the draft. Like that seems, if that happened right now, people would melt down. Even in 2017, we got McCaffrey and Fournette in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
But that 2000s, God, I'm getting old.
And that class was really good too, though. They had like Dalvin Cook. It had Joe Patrick Mixon. Yeah, that class ended like up a being great running good, back, especially class, running back. Yeah,
and so like we still Fournette went 4, and then McCaffrey went 8, and then I think the next one was it Nick Chubb in that class.
He's 18.
But Dalvin Cook goes 41. My point being is that like we have seen such a dramatic shift in where running backs are taken. We saw Saquon Barkley in the top 10, of course, too. That was 2018. That's right. That if you get Bijan Robinson, a player of his caliber, who's going to give you 5 good years, and then you can franchise tag him, so you get 6 years out of him if you draft him in the first round. Like, take him in from 11 to 21 or 11 to 31, and you're going to have a dynamic, explosive running game plus the passing game aspect of it. So to me, it's like it's kind of a, I don't know. I think like he is in a different year. 5 years ago, he's going top 10 easily. And
what I would say too about this is that to that point, for as much as I'm like anti running backs going in the first round, I think Will, what you just said makes sense.
Same, I am too.
Yeah. Yeah. That a team is going to pick Bijan Robinson in the first round. Regardless of which team it is, we're going to hear, and I'll kind of feel this way. Like, hey, you know, they could have gone a different position. It's more valuable. But with Bijan Robinson, you know you're getting an instant impact guy immediately. A lot of the other positions, it's they're developmental, they're not fully matured yet, they need to be more polished. With Bijan, you're getting an instant playmaker who's in his prime at like 21, 22 years old for the next 4 seasons. So if you are the Seahawks and you're like, hey, we do want to run the ball a lot, we like Geno, but we don't really want him throwing it 40, 45 times a game, it wouldn't be the worst idea to pick Bijan Robinson because he's that good. I just feel a little differently that I think the depth of this class is still very good behind him.
Yeah, that's fine. I wanted to point out that like Bijan, see, we did a great job. Great job tag team in the running back class really with their songs because the depth is good. But like, if I've got a chance to draft Bijan at a discount, I'm drafting him at a discount.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Like you, I mean, here, all right, so let's look at some teams starting at 11. Cause I don't think you can, I don't want to draft a running back in the top 10. I think I would. If I were like, I don't want to do one of the top 5, but like I would consider in the top 10, but like Texans or Titans, probably no 11. Texans probably no, because they just signed Devin Singletary. Jets have Breece Hall. Pats, maybe. Packers have Aaron Jones. Commanders, they have too many holes. Steelers drafted Najee. Lions would be real interesting at 18. Buccaneers probably have too many holes. Seahawks at 20, as I pointed out, I think would work. Chargers at 21, if you don't want to pay Eckler, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Ravens are a run-heavy team. If you think Lamar is going to be in the fold, you know, you do have J.K. Dobbins, and you have – is Gus Edwards gone now? Gus Edwards is gone, isn't he?
They just cycle through running backs anyway, so it's –
yeah, I'm really just saying, like, you could – I mean, better, yeah. if you run that much – no, Gus Edwards is still there. Justice Hill, yeah. I'm saying you run the ball that much that I don't mind, like, investing in it. Vikings, we don't know. Dalvin's going to be good, you know, like, moving forward. He's expensive. Jaguars, Giants, Cowboys, Bills. You can make a case for a lot of these teams to draft Bijan, is my point.
Yeah, I think so. And one last thing on this. I think it's easy for us as analysts to think beyond the first contract 5-6 years down the road, will they sign a second deal? I think a lot of the GMs are like, I need to win right now. I can't worry about what's going to happen in 6 years. And if you're the Chargers and you're like, we're not going to pay Eckler, you still have Justin Herbert not making a lot of money on that rookie deal. If you can plug in someone like Bijan Robinson for the next 2 or 3 years, that's like an elite level running back with Justin Herbert being young, I think most GMs will sign up for that any day. And that's why Bijan Robinson, a part of why I think he'll still be a first round pick.
All right. How about tight ends? My favorite group.
Tight ends. Will, do you want to go here? I think you already mentioned your group and then I can follow, or
I think you're already up.
Okay. I'm already up.
By Arcade
Rebellion
Fire.
By Arcade Fire. I love this song.
By the way, I've got a good Arcade Fire story between our songs.
Great. Okay.
So I don't like, I was looking at the lyrics and I'm like, I don't really understand the lyrics fully as it ties to the tight end class. So just going off the name in general, Rebellion is, yeah, and the vibes of it. I said it earlier about, I think, off interior offensive linemen. The tight end classes of late, outside of Kyle Pitts, have been really bad. Like the last 2 or 3 years, this tight end class is kind of rebelling against that idea that tight ends are just not going to be good coming into the NFL as a class in general, with Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta and Michael Mayer and Darnell Washington. It is a really top heavy class. Like there's good top end talent, and there's super depth in this class. So it's just a rebellion over the last couple of years that have been bad at the tight end spot.
So before you get my song, well, I'm going to tell you the Arcade Fire story. So Arcade Fire was here in Raleigh, and me and a couple of buddies, me and my brother and like my pal Nathan, and maybe a friend Carr, like all went, it was like four of us who were going. And we went and had some drinks before at a bar. It was downtown, Red Hat Amphitheater. So it's like, you know, you easily walkable from like downtown. So we go get some beers and we're walking in there and we stop, you know, go through the security, stop, get a drink. And there's, you know, like the main walkway, you know, between like the, you know, there's two sections. There's the lawn, some seats, big walkway through the middle of it. And we're walking through the big walkway to go to our seats. And as we're walking, like we look up, and it's like Win Butler and the entirety of Arcade Fire is walking towards us, surrounded by like some security and a bunch of cameramen. We're like, holy bleep, like, dude. And we all stop at the top of this thing. Cause like, and you walk down the middle to get to the stage. Well, they're recording. We come to find out later. Something for like a music, like some B-roll stuff for a music video, like either a music video or like a touring.
Are you in this music video?
I don't know. I've never found it.
Oh, but okay.
I am from, not like from me to my bookshelf, but it's like not much further away. I'm like 3 feet from Win Butler. And we're just standing there. Yeah, I mean, like, and they're like, and he's like doing this thing where they like get all hyped up and everything. And I'm like looking at Nate, I'm like, dude, I've got my phone out. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is insane how close we are to Win Butler. And they're doing this like hype up thing and like sort of like they've got like you know, they're like playing a beat and like getting loud. And we're like, yes. And they go in and they walk in. Like, that was incredible. Let me see the footage. I double pressed record on my thing and didn't. I recorded 1 second of me attempting to record it and got zero footage from it. And I still catch crap to that this day.
Were you guys in the venue super early, like before the concert?
No. We were like last second in there. They were doing it as a thing. The entire crowd was there.
Oh, they Okay.
Like, the crowd didn't realize it. They all turned around. They're like, oh my God. They're like, they walked down the middle of the aisle. They cleared the whole thing out and walked down. And like, it was like the build up to the show.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It was like an insane moment. And I captured it all by accident without it. I failed to capture it all by accident. Pretty disappointing. But I love Arcade Fire. Anyway. My tight end, didn't I change my crap? What would I say my tight ends are?
You had that Kenny Loggins song, but then you used it.
Oh, crap. I used it for the linebackers. You're right.
You just love that song, I think. You wanted to get it out.
While you think of it, Dom says the tight end is Old Town Road. Annoying at first, but then it grows on you. Titans are bad at first, and then they get better.
I do like the Old Town Road. It's a good song. Yeah, I guess I screwed up and did Playing with the Boys instead.
All right.
Yeah, I got nothing on the tight ends. I told you my Win Butler story. That's it. We can move on.
But also, yeah, I mean, but not this. The Kenny Loggins song can also be tied to this. It doesn't have to be just like one group of song. There can be multiple groups that also fit in this song. All right, let's talk about the wide receivers, which I feel like there's a pretty deep class. What do you think, Traps?
Yeah, it's really good. And let's stay on the Kenny Loggins theme with the song I'm All Right. And this is another one that's just straight up from the title.
I'm All Right.
Yep. Yes,
I'll be the singer. That'll be my
Caddyshack anthem. It's just I'm All Right. Like it's a deep class, but if we were talking about the wide receivers, if we're looking at the maybe first round guys we had yesterday, Jim Nagy, that he tweeted that he's spoken to a lot of teams and they only have one first round grade on a wide receiver, and that is Jaxon Smith-Njigba from Ohio State. Who knows if that's just lying season or that's legitimate. I think it's an all right wide receiver class. It's not terrible. I think early on there was some narrative that it was bad, it was not good, but I think with Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston, some later-ish guys like Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss, Rasheed Rice from SMU, Jaden Reed from Michigan State. It's an all right class. We've had kind of gotten spoiled at the wide receiver spot over the last couple drafts with Jamar Chase, some of the guys, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave last season. It's just an all right class. It's not terrible. There will be good players from this group, but not amazing like we've had over the last couple of years.
Ritson?
Sorry, I blacked out for a second. What, what position am I looking at again? We're looking at
wide receivers. Also, how does Kenny know that song? I know a lot of Kenny Loggins. Al. All
right. And full disclosure, I was actually thinking about a Kenny Loggins thing and reading like.
Do you have a Kenny Loggins story?
On the Kenny Loggins train.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say full disclosure. Like I saw Traps have Kenny Loggins on there. I was like, I'm going to have some Kenny Loggins as well. My song for the wide receivers is from the band. Like what band? The Band. Maybe my favorite band of all time.
There's a band called The Band.
Oh my God. They were Bob Dylan's backing band for a while. And then they went on their own. You know, a bunch of their songs. But you don't know that you know them.
Oh,
The Weight, Pulled in Nazareth, feeling about half.
Okay, past you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. That's the band. Ophelia by the band is one. The Last Waltz is their live album, which you've never seen. It's the greatest musical album of all time, a musical performance of all time, in my opinion. Anyway, Don't Do It is what I've got for the band, meaning maybe be a little cautious with these wide receivers if you're drafting one in the first round. Because, you know, don't you break my heart. And I think people will potentially have their hearts broken if they decide to
break your heart.
No. Don't you do it. Don't you break my heart.
Oh, you know, okay. Breaking, but no.
I just think there's a chance of people being like, this wide receiver class is good. They are small. Oh, you could have gone with you know what would have been good too? Is too short. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yes.
Wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I had a girl that looked good. I would call her. That's what I'm doing on the show today. I am just singing.
You're singing. You. You're a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easily the best singer of the on the podcast. no offense, Travis. Who's the tall wide receiver that you trust? Quentin Johnston?
He's like the only one. Like Zay Flowers is short. Josh Downs is short. Smith Najigba was just cracked the 6-foot threshold, I think, or he was just a little bit above it. So yes, this is definitely a smaller, as a whole, collectively, a smaller and lighter wide receiver class, especially at the top that we've had in a while.
There's if you take the top six wide receivers, I think there's one guy who's over 6'1". It's Quentin Johnston. Mm-hmm. Johnston, I guess. Josh Downs, I would probably spend a late first round pick on. I think I have him going to the first round. I know he's probably considered a day two guy. Zay Flowers, I'm definitely spending a first round pick on. JSN, I'm probably spending a first round pick on, but late first round picks. As you point out in your article, there's no Jamar Chase. Mm. You know, there's no
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson. There's no Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb types, right? There's none of these guys where you're like, that guy is the guy. So I think you just have to be a little cautious with this wide receiver class. And when I say don't do it, I mean, don't use a top 10 pick on one of these guys because it's probably going to end up biting you in the butt.
Yeah, I could see it ultimately turning out to be a lot like the 2019 class that only saw Marquise Brown go in the first round. He was the only receiver picked in that first round at wide receiver. And then all the really good wide receivers went in round two with – or round three, DK, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, guys that were like a little bit overlooked for, you know, different reasons, who ultimately were the better who became the better players at the receiver spot. Now, we still could get six in the first round, but it does seem to be kind of leaning toward not seeing this, you know, huge glut of receivers be picked in the first round.
All right. How about the quarterbacks? Any other Kenny Loggins? Highway to the Danger Zone, Footloose. Could we get Kenny Loggins in this show?
Danger Zone would have been a good one for them.
Tiny Town of Footloose.
So I was going to go a little more new age, something that I'm assuming Billy would know and not, you know, we're talking about 80s. I went with Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi. It's one of my favorite songs. It feels like the quarterback, and this is more about the teams picking the quarterbacks, that they are after the pursuit of happiness. The Panthers, the Texans, the Colts, they have been down on the quarterback position for varying lengths of time, but it feels like it's been a while for the Panthers since Cam Newton. The Texans, it's been so bad post Deshaun Watson for that organization as a whole, and the quarterback spot, they're probably going to pick a quarterback, I think, at two. The Colts have just been cycling through all these veterans. Jim Irsay really wants one. So they're after this pursuit of being like the other top-tier teams in the NFL with a young quarterback that they drafted that's a franchise guy, not even a Ryan Tannehill, if the Titans are kind of in the mix. So that was more about the teams that are probably going to land these quarterbacks as opposed to the quarterback prospects himself.
Sorry, I have to pause, but I was blasting Pretending by Eric Clapton, which is my song. If you've never watched this music video, Google Eric Clapton Pretending. It is so incredible. It is like the most 80s thing of all time. Clapton's like, it like starts off with like, they're like in this like old abandoned warehouse. It's like got fires burning. Billy didn't give me my freaking, I want a screenshot of Eric Clapton in the pouring down rain, shredding his electric guitar, which not possible. Look at this.
Oh,
there's a fire burning. There's smoke everywhere. It's like an old abandoned warehouse. And he's plugged into this electric guitar in the middle of the pouring down rain, just absolutely shredding it. Do you know how dead you would be if you played an electric guitar in the rain?
It's Eric Clapton, though. He can do it.
I mean, really? It's just an unbelievable, like the music videos, and it's just Shamwell pretending. It's like the purest of the 80s Eric Clapton, along with there's just a bunch of he's a bunch of songs. Anyway, the point being is these NFL teams are pretending that they believe in these quarterbacks enough to draft them in the top 10.
Well done.
Thank you. And I think that some of these guys are worth top 10 picks. Like Bryce Young is immensely talented. He has size concerns. That's just the reality of it. CJ Stroud seems safe, but I don't trust Ohio State quarterbacks. And maybe that's a me problem. Don't care.
Well,
point to be, how many of them have turned out in the NFL?
There aren't any.
Craig Krenzel.
Do you feel like Justin Fields could be maybe one of the first?
That's why I say great passer though, because like I can kind of circumvent the Justin.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, yes, Fields could be the first one, and I hope he is. I hope Justin Fields proves me wrong, but I don't know that I think that. Like, I don't know that I want to be in it. Like, there's something about him. And like, everyone's just like, CJ Stroud's the safest pick. Safe pick. It's like, is he? Like, he's very accurate. But, like, is he?
He's not super mobile.
Yeah, he's had a couple of decent runs. But, yeah, I mean, like, there's just, I don't know. Will Levis, like, you're making a projection.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson, my God, you were making a projection. And, yes, both of those guys could have been incredible. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we ended up in a situation where CJ Stroud was sort of like Mitchell Trubisky and, you know, you got Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes type of performances, not to that extreme level, but just that type from Levis and Richardson, just in the sense of like athleticism and all that. So, but I think that these NFL teams, especially in as you mentioned, Traps, with David Tepper and with Jim Irsay, pressing their GMs and pressing their front offices to, you know, go out and get a quarterback that you have people talking themselves into quarterbacks, maybe more than we've seen in recent years. Ergo, they are pretending.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You watch the Pick Six podcast.
Golf's biggest stars descend on Oak Hill for one unforgettable major, the PGA Championship, coming in May to CBS.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and Chris Trapasso. And we are going through the draft and assigning songs to the different position groups. Make sure you join us all week long for more NFL offseason news. And remember to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page. And do the same if you're listening just to audio. All right, guys, before we get into offensive tackles, I did miss at the top of the show defensive tackles. Let's do that one real quick. What do you think, Traps?
Yeah, I'll be quick. It's We Are Young by Fun and Janelle Monae. It's a song.
Clueless. Yeah. It's in the movie Clueless.
It's all about being young, making some maybe not great decisions when we're young. Mm-hmm. I think Jalen Carter's entire pre-draft process would kind of fall into that category. And just the fact that he truly is young. Kalijah Kancey is young. He's an underclassman. There's a lot of younger kind of unpolished or non-finished products at the defensive tackle group in this class that still need to learn because they are figuratively and literally young players in terms of their development and what they have to do to become good players in the NFL.
I dig it. By the way, I should point out that Captain Spock in the comments says seeing Pink Floyd in the 70s is the best concert you could ever go to. Ooh. I am a huge Pink Floyd fan. Saw Roger Waters recently. He's great. What's that?
Recently.
Yeah, like in the last year.
Oh, I didn't realize he was still touring. Yeah.
If you go to see Roger Waters, be aware that you will see some mildly political messages and some disturbing images posted by him. It is pretty. Like, I was just there for the tins. It's a little too much for me, even. And I'm like, I can deal with whatever. This was like a little bit much. At any rate, Pink Floyd Animals. Holy crap. What a friggin' album. I've been blaring it. I've got it on vinyl here in my house. And I love the Kinect of Animals. And it gets weird. Yes, Animals Tour in 77 was the best. I wasn't alive in 77. I would kill to have seen them playing Animals in 77. It is probably a top 10 album for me. Actually, easily a top 10 album for me. Like people think that they... There's weird, British psychedelic rock, but like Animals friggin' shreds. So check out Animals. Mm-hmm. DTs, what did I go with? I went with, where is it? Sorry, I lost my.
I would say Jalen Carter specifically while you're thinking about that. What about Taylor Swift, Shake It Off? Because I feel like in that song, you know, she's like, everybody's saying all these things about me. I just got to shake it off. And obviously he's got his legal problems. He's gained a little bit of weight. He didn't look that good at the combine. So he's just got to shake it off and hopefully be drafted well.
That works.
Can I confess something?
Definitely works.
Please.
I'm kind of a Swiftie now.
Yes. Mm. Yes, Brinson. We're all Swifties now. I mean,
She's really good.
She's incredible. Yeah, like she's an incredible songwriter. And like, you know, her voice is great. Her voice is great because it's easy to sing along to. It's not like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, where you can't keep up with her. You know, she keeps everything at a baseline. Incredible songwriter. And her songs are just fun and catchy.
There's actually a video of me dancing, like bobbing my head to Shake It Off. That's like 10 years old. I know one person who found it on the internet. I don't know how the hell he found it, but it's out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're all Swifties now. All right, DT, sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. I went with Sell by Widespread Panic. Because I think this is a DT class that you're sort of selling.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you know, you're at Carter who, I mean, you're, you know, it's, you know, you're taking a pretty big leap of faith, right? If you take Carter too, even though like his talent is enough to put him at number one, but it's like when all that off-field stuff starts happening and then simultaneously, you know, he gains weight and doesn't perform well at the pro day. I mean, I think that at least makes you question, and I don't want to be someone to question someone's performance under adversity because adversity is difficult. But like, if you deal with that adversity and then your response is like gain weight and test poorly. Like what happens if, you know, you're 3 years down the road and something bad happens to you off the field? You know what I mean? Like, psychologically, like that's at least an important thing. So I think that is a little concerning for him. You know, if you're trying to invest in Jalen, you know, Carter is like a, you know, top pick. And so sell for me by Watcher Panic.
Okay. I love that. Let's move on to offensive tackles, Traps.
Okay. So I thought that I did not submit one, but I did just looking down the list. I went with I Am a Rock, my second Simon and Garfunkel song from the 60s, I believe. Pretty popular song. And this is just, again, this is like from the main chorus that I am a rock. I am an island.
Yes, Traps. Yes, Traps.
Because I think it's a rock solid class, and a lot of these offensive tackles play on an island. Paris Johnson is probably going to be a top 10 pick. I think when you're doing mock drafts, and now Brinson is in the mock draft world, which is fun to see this time of year, you're going to be putting Paris Johnson like to the Raiders at 7, to the Bears at 9. He can play on an island. I love Peter Skoronski. Anton Harrison from Oklahoma is really good. Broderick Jones is that high upside player who's not totally developed yet, but could be like an all-pro type in a couple years. If you need an offensive tackle, it's maybe not like there's not a Tristan Wirfs in this class, but I really like it. It's just a rock solid group. So all these offensive linemen, especially at the top, could be kind of singing this song as their theme, as well as I just did a few seconds ago.
That was great. Yep.
I lumped the offensive linemen together into one group. So,
yep. Oh, okay. So we've already gone through that.
Yep.
All right. Cornerbacks. What do you think?
Okay. I'm going with Any Way You Want It by Journey. And I think Steve Carey is one of the most underrated.
You want it, yeah. Yep.
I think Steve Perry is one of the most underrated singers, like vocal, like singers of all time. He should get more publicity, or I guess notoriety on those lists. And this is because the cornerback class is really any way you want it. Do you want a tall, long corner? Do you want a Joey Porter? Do you want a smaller cornerback? Devin Witherspoon isn't quite as big. Deontay Banks from Maryland isn't quite as big. It's a really, really good class. So any way you want it, if you pick them in the first round, second round, third round, Julius Brents from Kansas State isn't getting a ton of hype, although it does seem to be building a little bit. His buzz tested through the roof, was an amazing athlete, was great at Kansas State. There's so many corners in this class. Any way you want it, you can get a good one. Spend probably a first through third round pick on the position, and you'll get a good one.
You know, I was going to have to get a Grateful Dead song in there. So,
finally. Okay.
Yeah. They can't wear a Grateful Dead hat and not get a Grateful Dead. Oh, look at Dom in the chat actually has a Shades of Gray. Shade of Gray. Shade of Gray. Yeah. I love the song. Touch of Gray. Touch of Gray is the name of the song by the Grateful Dead. But yes, I'm with you, Dom, on that song. It's a delightful song. I went with Shakedown Street. I just wanted to put Shakedown Street in here, honestly.
Okay. Yeah. Where's Shakedown the tie?
And it's like, it does feel like a cornerback song there, right? Like you're like, I don't know, like the name, like you're, you know, shake, like, you know, you're on this Shakedown Street is like this long, like, you know, narrow sort of, not an island style, but you're one-on-one, like walking, like it's sort of like how you would imagine playing like press man coverage. Right. And then you're shaking down the wide receiver. And so like, just the fact that we had some good corners in this class, I felt like that worked, especially with sort of the way that these guys, play, especially Witherspoon, who's like smaller, but dude, that guy is physical and he flies around.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I have a confession, Brinson. I went to a Dead and Company concert. And at the Hollywood Bowl. So it was great, great venue. I never listened to the Grateful Dead. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't like it. I didn't love it. So maybe you'll have to. Well, John Mayer was playing guitar. I don't know. Well, I guess he was singing background vocals as well. Yeah.
He sings lead some.
Yeah. There's something about jam band music that's just not really cohesive. And so, I don't know. You got to teach me your ways on how to. Yeah, I don't know
if not cohesive is not the thing. It's more like it's too cohesive.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Too like, cohesive.
It's not an insult. No. It's just like it's too like.
Well, there's no. There's no structure to it, I guess. Maybe that's what it is. It just seems like it's kind of all over the place.
Right. It's too cohesive. Like it's too like.
It's too cohesive. Yeah. All right. Well, you're going
to. I mean, like most people who go to concerts want like, I want like 10 songs. Like, pew, 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 right.
Right.
And a lot of times jam bands, it's like popping all around the place. I don't know why I made those noises. Sorry.
That was actually an amazing Yeah, so you'll have to give me some songs to listen to, and I'll have to figure out how to get more on the jam band, because it seems like a fun time. Everybody there seemed to be having a very good time. All right, Edge Rushers, Traps.
All right. Very good time at those Grateful Dead concerts.
Yeah, California, if you're watching in California, there's one way you can certainly get there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Edge Rushers.
I'm going
Edge
with Rushers.
Enjoy the Sunshine.
I'm going with Back to Back by Drake, just because last year when I did this article, ooh, I picked Edge Rushers as the best position group, and they're going back to back. I think it is a very, very good edge rusher group again. Not just Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson, Felix Anudike Uzama from Kansas State is super good. I even like Andre Carter from Army, like on the second or in the second or the third round. Nolan Smith from Georgia tested through the roof. We didn't get to see him a lot because he tore his pec in season, but I think he could be like that Hassan Reddick type, who's smaller but very, very good in time. It's just another very quality edge rusher group, which makes sense. I mean, every team in college throws it like 50 times a game. You need those pass rushers to kind of counteract those high-powered offenses. So if you need an edge rusher, this, again, like it was last year with Trevon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson, the class to pick an edge rusher.
Yeah, and in that same vein, I went with God, what a banger this song is. Oh. The Heat Is On.
Yes,
by Glenn one. Fry.
The Heat Is On.
Everybody knows it from Beverly Hills Cop, of course.
Oh my God, yes.
All up in the action. I'm looking up for you. Anyway. This is going to really break some ears on the
now people are jamming on their car. Listen to this.
Whoa, trying to exercise and Brinson singing The Heat Is On. I think that, just the point is like, this is a class with a lot of pressure and the heat is on, and these guys are going to get after the quarterback, and you're going to see, I don't think it's like your opinion, Trash, but it's like consensus, the best group overall.
Yeah.
Like if you're a team that is really believes in best player available and you're unsure about what you want to do in this draft, you will probably
end up, edge rusher.
You will potentially end up finding yourself defaulting to an edge rusher.
And it's such a important position. It's a premium spot today. It's not easy to find those double digit sack guys, but I'm not going to say all the top guys are going to become like all pros, but yes, I think teams in that when in doubt situation, round ones, two and three, they're like, oh, we don't really know what we're going to do here, or we have close grades. They're probably going to lean edge rusher because the position matters. There's so many good players at that position in this draft.
Oh, show.
Well, this was a very fun show. A lot of lyrical appreciation from you, Brinson. And Traps, you got in there with one song too, which was pretty good. I also held it down on my end for the singing here. It seems like a lot of people in the chat don't know these songs. So I don't know if we've just got like a younger audience.
Educated them.
I'm a pretty old soul when it comes to what I'm listening to.
Yeah, no, same. I mean, I knew a lot of these songs, but also you can see how excited Billy was every time there was a modern song in the hip hop genre. I think that's more what he was going for. But all right, guys, I think that's going to wrap up our show today. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Pick Six podcast from myself, Brinson, and Traps. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 1 p.m. for more NFL offseason news. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. If you're listening to the audio version only, do the same, download, follow, leave a 5-star review, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. We'll see you tomorrow.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount+.